goodsuccess.com. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because we are going to learn from you again today. And I pray that you bless everyone. Let everyone indeed be blessed. Let everyone's faith be stirred up. Let everyone's love for you be rekindled in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains remember. It's been a wonderful month. If you missed the last Bible study, make sure you watch the video or listen to the recording on the website at thegoodsuccess.com. Make sure you listen to that and you will surely be blessed. Last week was a wonderful one in the Bible study. And today again, we are in another episode. And today the topic has been titled Remember. And what are we to remember? What does the scriptures explicitly instruct us to remember? There are so many of them. But today, we're just going to focus on a couple of them that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to actually learn from. And there are things that we need to remember. And God wants us to also forget some things. Remember, the Bible says, don't remember the former things and don't remember the old things. Far away, do a new thing. However, that scripture doesn't really mean we have to forget everything. It's saying there are some things we need to forget because the same scripture says we should remember some things that are also old. So it means we have to know the context. We have to know exactly what God wants us to do time. So before last week, we were able to learn about forging ahead. We learned the concept of time. We learned forging ahead into good success. Last one we did was about not letting the shame of past errors or failures or mistakes stop you from maximizing the present and getting into the future. And then the Bible study last week, we learned a lot of things, especially about honoring God and His Word. That when you pray, it's not a time to be pressing phone. It's not a time to be doing other things while you are praying. Yes, I know that God says we should pray without ceasing, but I'm talking about your dedicated time of prayer. The time you have actually set apart to fellowship with God, to relate with God, to talk to God. That's not the time to have divided attention to begin to do all other things. That's the time to focus on God. 1 minute or 5 minutes of 100% focus on God is better than 1 hour of distraction because we are actually dishonoring Him. We saw from that scripture of Nehemiah where those people stood probably for hours listening to the word of God, paying rapt attention. You know, it says the people paid a lot of attention. Please go and watch that video if you're watching on YouTube or listen to the recording on the website, thegoodsuccess.com. So today we have a topic which is a unique one. And I would say this topic is one to be treated reverently because God is going to be calling all of us back to order and we are going to be blessed indeed. Now let's dive in. Remember, what are we to remember? So the topic is all about us making the most of life and keeping the faith, making the most of life and making sure we keep our faith. And we're going to remember that very soon. So it's actually a clarion call to believers like you and I to remember why we got saved, how we got saved, what we got saved from, and what we are getting saved to. I'm going to say that again. It's a clarion call to believers like you and I to remember the very important things about our faith, to remember why we got saved, what we got saved from, what we were saved to or to get. So that's the real purpose today. You know, most of the issues we have in Christianity is largely because we forget things, because we forget the basic things that we should never forget. And we are lenient on things we should actually be strict on, and we focus on things that we should not take seriously. There are some things that are not really core things in our faith, but most people seem to take them seriously and put all the energy in them, while the things that are really core, the things that are major things, are being pushed down. Maybe not as a congregation, maybe not as group in general, but what about individuals? When we talk like this, it's not really about what groups of people do. It's about what you and I do. Don't say, oh, I remember that person. This message is for that person. No, that message or this message is for you. It's for me. That's how we should see it today. A few of the things that scripture wants us to remember, those are the things we are going to go through. There are so many of them, but we're just going to go through a couple of them today. The first one is that we should remember God, His deliverance and change of levels. Remember that scripture in Deuteronomy says that when you are already in the land that I'm taking you into, you must remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth. But we remember the get wealth part, but we forget the first part. The reason why it's actually telling us to remember Him. So having the wealth is not the challenge. It's not a big deal. Anyone who works with God will certainly work in wealth. If you obey God's laws, you're doing everything He commands, you are obeying the law of giving and receiving, you will walk in wealth. It may take some time for you to learn some of the things you need to learn, but you will surely walk in wealth. But the major reason for that scripture, while it's good for it to tell us and make us know that God gives us wealth, but the major reason is for us to remember God, that is the one that did it. So that's the first thing to remember. Remember God. And what do you remember about Him? Remember His deliverance. Remember His change of levels. He said, I'm the one, in Deuteronomy 6:12, He says, beware lest you forget the Lord, that's Jehovah, that brought you out of Egypt from the house of bondage. So what bondage has God brought you from? What deliverance has God given to you and I? He said, remember. Let's look back. Maybe there was a time you needed money, you didn't have money, and you were going to be put to shame, and God just showed up. He's saying, remember. Don't forget it. Remember that God is the one that did it. It's not really so much about that thing that you are remembering. It's about you remembering who did it. I've seen many believers, or I've heard about many believers, that after they become wealthy, after they have a lot of things, they begin to forget how. And then, you know, where they're supposed to mention Jesus, they begin to say the universe, the creator. They can't use that word anymore. Why? They are beginning to forget. One of the things we should never ever forget is how God delivered you, what He delivered you from, and what He delivered you and brought you into. One of the things we should remember as our major deliverance is deliverance from sin, deliverance from the camp of the enemy, deliverance from all the challenges of life that will have drowned you and I. But God delivered us. So we must remember. That's the first thing. Then the second thing today we must always remember is, we must remember His guidance, His leadings, His provisions, and His chastisement. I'm going to say that again. Remember His guidance, how He guided you. You will have made a major mistake in some areas of life, but God decided to guide you from step to step. And then He led you. There's a difference between guidance. I can guide you without coming there. But when someone is leading you, you can see in my head, you are following His steps. God guided you and I. Then He provided for you. And not only that, He corrected you. He chastised you. We must be grateful for His chastisement, because one of the pointers to the fact that you are still with God is that God corrects you. He says, a father corrects the son whom he loves. If God doesn't correct you, you better check. If I don't see God correcting me in anything, maybe you lied and there is no conviction of the Holy Spirit, nothing. Amen. That person is lost. But you did it and your heart could not be addressed. You better thank God for it. Those are great gifts that God has given you and I. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, that God humbled you, that God taught you humility and did not expose you and put you to shame in front of the world. We need to thank Him. He said He humbled you, He proved you. You passed all those tests to know what is in your heart. He said He proved you to know what's in your heart. And then He checked whether you keep His commandment or not. So these are the things you should be grateful for. That God tested you in little things and now gave you big gifts. Remember the parable of the talents. He tested those people in little things and He gave them great gifts. That is how God has treated many of us. He has tested you in little things. In church, you are tested whether you steal the money when He asks you to go and buy something little, whether you add your own money. and you passed. And God says, he who is faithful in little is also faithful in much. So God just suddenly changes your story. And you can't even remember that. It's because of all those little things. But you know what? You can't boast because he gave you the strength to obey him. Number three, remember to call his name. Remember to call the name of the Lord. No matter the challenge you are facing, no matter the victories you are having, you are enjoying at the moment, or the breakthroughs or anything, remember the name of the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 55 says, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Remember his name. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Remember his name. It's not a time for you to be ashamed to call his name when you have victory. Remember that woman? I think she's from Ekiti State at Olympics. She made sure to give God thanks even when she had a victory. Maybe they won't allow her to come back, but she made her mark. That publicity is better than what so many crusades are, that some people will do. Because some people perhaps never heard the name of Jesus. Perhaps some people never saw that. But she made sure she did it. The worst is they will tell her not to come again. But she risked her life just to do that. When you are in that position, that victory that God wants to give you, that blessing that God wants to give you and I, when we get there, will you be able to call the name of Jesus publicly? Or you'll be ashamed of his name? Remember to call his name. Then number four, focus on God early and let your children do so too. Ecclesiastes 12:1, it says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God is saying there's a time to serve God. If we keep giving excuses, I'm busy, I'm working, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, a time is coming that you and I will wish that, oh, how I wish I did all those things when I was younger. But may that never be a portion in the name of Jesus. But God is saying, there's a time. See, there are some things that once the time goes, you can never go back again. Abraham may have given his life to Christ or to God, surrender to God at the age of 75. But imagine if Abraham was David, the kind of feat he would have still accomplished. He started at 75 and he became a father of faith. Imagine if he started at 15 or 17 or 12. Remember the Lord in the days of thy youth. There's a time to serve God with your strength. There's a time that all you can do will be prayers because you will be too old to go out. No matter how old you want to get, once you start becoming 100, 120, even if you don't want to leave ministry, if you're a pastor, ministry will leave you, whether you like it or not. Some people will come and do it. So there is a time to do it. And it's only when you do it at that time, that's when it's glorious. There's a time to serve God, which is every time, of course, but it's a time to use the energy that you and I still have to serve him. Don't start looking for excuses. See, some people are looking for excuses to serve God, to come and bring themselves before God. Some people are looking for excuses to escape from God. May that not be you and I, in the name of Jesus. So let's look for excuses to serve God, excuses to go to the house of God, excuses to win souls, create the platform, create the atmosphere. I remember in those days when I was growing up and I was still meeting a lot of people, I was very young, and the Holy Spirit just prompted me to preach to people. And, you know, I'll be looking at, how am I going to start? This is my friend. I don't want to lose this friendship and all that. And what I will do is, I will create a conversation that will trigger me bringing Christ to the platform or to the conversation. I'll just start something and bring Jesus into it. And guess what? Many of them work very perfectly. Look for excuses to bring Jesus to the conversation. I know a particular sect of Christianity, they do that. When you're talking about things being had in a country or things like that or politics, they will just shift their own belief into it. That's why we need the kingdom of God to come. And it's so natural to them. Why can't you and I do that too? When you talk with people who are high or who are low, people who are needy or people who have too much, there is always something that you can bring out from the scripture to describe people's situation or to bring them to know Christ. If somebody has too much, tell them the parable of the rich fool, if you are led to do so. Or look for other ones. If somebody is saying, I'm so rich, say, relax. Are you as rich as Abraham? Abraham was wealthy in all things. and yet he was close to God like no other. God called him his friend. David was king, was army general. He was everything that anyone may desire. He had the power. He had power. He had authority. He had wealth. He had influence. And yet, he found time to worship God and to be in his presence 7 times a day. So tell me, who has that excuse? We can always bring anyone to the situations of life. If someone is saying, I'm so poor, what about Lazarus that found himself in heaven? Even though, well, he could have enjoyed a lot of things on earth, but at least he didn't lose his integrity. He didn't lose his righteousness. Which is telling you and I also that we can always apply this to our own lives. You can't be too busy for God. And you can't be too unbusy or free for God. We need to find excuses to serve God and make others do that also around us. So, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And I'm telling this to every one of us. God is telling that to you and I. Then number 5, God is saying in Isaiah 46:9, it says, remember the former things of old. Now, there's a place where the Bible says, don't remember the things of old. But this one is saying, remember the old things. And it's explaining further. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. What challenge are you going through that looks like it will never come to an end? God is saying, remember me. Remember things of old, all the things I did before. If he did it before, he will do it again. Same God back then, right? The same God back then is the same God right now. Or the same God right now is still the one that was there back then. Whichever way you want to swap it on. But the important thing is, remember God. Remember him. Remember the former things, all the things he did before. Remember them. And if you remember them, it will stir up your faith to focus on God. For you to be able to know that if he has done it before, whether in the life of any other person or your life, he can do it again. Another one is, remember that God remembers you. Let me say that again. Remember that God remembers you and will never forget you. Remember that God remembers you and will never forget you. Isaiah 49:15-16, it says, can a woman forget a sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I'm going to read that again. Maybe it's for someone here today or someone listening to me or watching. Can a woman forget a sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will never forget you. I will not forget you. God is saying he will not forget you. See, other people may forget you. Friends, family, uncles, people you think they should remember you. They may forget you. But he's saying he will never forget you. So always remember that. When you want to throw in the towel and give up, remember that God will not forget you. The next one that we should remember is this. Don't forget Jesus in the temple. Take him everywhere. For some of us, just like I said before, maybe the people listening or watching or at whatever time you are listening to this or watching this, the parents of Jesus, they forgot him. They assumed that he was in their midst. I'm talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, that an angel appeared to her. She had a virgin birth. All those wonderful experiences. And that's why your experiences are not perfect enough to make you stand in the faith. We all need the grace of God. With all those experiences, imagine Joseph that was struggling to put Mary away, and angel appeared to him. Angel appeared to both of them. But they were still able to assume that Jesus was somewhere. Are you supposed to assume that that kind of child is somewhere? Are you not supposed to take every moment to actually make sure it doesn't leave your front? Well, they forgot. It took them about 3 days, if I'm not wrong, 3 days to get him back. Anything could have happened to that kind of child. Well, it's not about them today. They did their own part. But it's for you and I. Don't forget Jesus in the temple. While you are going to church, while you and I are serving God, while you and I are busy in our places of work, don't only leave Jesus in the temple. Because some people, they are spiritual when they get to church. They can speak faith, they can, you know, believe God. But the moment they step out, it's just like they have stepped out of God. So the caution for you and I is, we must not forget Jesus. Remember him at all times. And how do we do that? We pray at all times. Pray in the Spirit. If you are already baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit at all times. That's the easiest way to pray at all times without ceasing. But that's the only way that you can do it. And then make sure that the same influence that Jesus has on you in church, in your prayer closet, is the same influence he has when you're outside with other people. So don't forget Jesus in the temple. Take him everywhere. The next one is, this one is a major one. Remember Lot's wife. Luke 17:32. It's a very short verse. It says, remember Lot's wife. So if you have never read the story of Lot and his wife when they were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, please go and read it. Because Lot, when he was going, the angel instructed them, don't look back. Don't go back to take anything. But she turned to disobey that instruction and she became a pillar of salt. Well, what that is telling you is, don't ever even consider turning back on your faith. Don't say, yeah, God is not answering my prayer. All these things. No. Let's relax and say, any attempt to turn back, I will not be fit for the kingdom of God, and I will turn to a pillar of salt. Do you know the meaning of that? It's the kind of salt that you cannot use for anything. God says, we are the light of the world, we are the salt of the earth. But that kind of pillar of salt, can you go and take it to cook? It's useless. It's just there as the light, but nobody can use it. It's there as the salt, nobody can use it. So we should also remember Lot's wife. Jesus is the one that said it. Remember Lot's wife. We should never turn back. He says, whoever lays his hands on the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We should always examine ourselves. God is saying, whoever stands, let him not think he stands and just be braggadocious about it. No. Let's always examine ourselves. You said something, you're like, okay, well, that thing I said, is it correct? If it's not correct, you quickly apologize to God. And tell that person, when, if you have the opportunity, that see, that thing I said, you know, there is something not wrong there. This is the accurate thing. That is what we should do. I remember many times like that in the past that I said something and the Holy Spirit convicts me. I will have to go back to that person to go and change what I said. It's not always a palatable experience, but it's worth it if you really want Jesus to always take the glory. Then the next one, before we close, remember Jesus is dead for you. Why many of us find it easy to disobey God or do things that God may not want us to do at any point in time is because we forget the death of Jesus. Luke 22:19 says, and he took bread and gave thanks and break it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Every time you take communion in church, every time you take the body and the blood of Jesus, it's not only for the healing, the blessings that come with it. You must also remember that he died. That's why you can break his body. He died for you and I. So we, as we are taking that, we're also taking it with reverence. We are taking it with joy, with excitement, with wonder, with expectation, but we are also taking it with reverence, knowing that this is the body of Jesus that was broken for us. We must remember his death and his resurrection. Because he didn't stop at the death, he stopped at the resurrection. And he's still continuing. And if you read 1 Corinthians 10:24, it also says that. 1 Corinthians 11:25 also says that. It says, do this in remembrance of me. Not just remembering Jesus. We are remembering what happened that gave you the opportunity to break the body. And as we are closing, we have about 3 more. Remember that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why we all want to be blessed? God is saying the formula for wealth is to give as much more as possible. It's more blessed. Naturally, when you talk about blessing, we remember money. We remember all those things. But if God is saying it's more blessed to give than to receive, and every giving guarantees a receiving, that means there are also certain blessings that are beyond the receiving. There are certain other blessings. For example, the blessing of being in the front of God. Anyone who remembers the poor, God is saying he has lent to him. And you know, You may forget everyone. Do you forget whoever you are owing? You may forget who owes you. There are many people you've given to and you've forgotten that they even owe you. But if you are owing someone a lot of money, you remember anytime you hear the voice of the person, may you never be in that place where you won't even be in the place where you owe people. But if you have ever owed people before or you know anyone who owed people, you know that the scripture that says the borrower is servant to the lender. You know it's true. Every time you hear the voice of that person, you want to hide, especially if you don't have it to give back. So imagine God is saying you owe him every time you give to people, to the poor, to the needy. God will always remember that person. And you can go and read Psalm, I think it's Psalm 112. It talks more about that. And then second to the last, remember your spiritual leaders. 1 Corinthians 11:2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I deliver them to you. So before you complain, in fact, we should never be in that place where we talk about this pastor did this. He shouldn't be doing that. Who gave you the authority to judge anyone? Not only pastors, even brothers, sisters in church, that people just open their mouth, so to say, and talk about them anyhow. What? Jesus Christ died for that person on the cross. And I want to believe that probably almost all of us are falling short of this at one point or the other. I mean, God forgive us. But we should remember now that any brother or any sister, as long as that person is saved, God is saying you should never backbite them. You should never see any wrong thing about them. You should never judge them so that you and I will not be judged. And for our spiritual leaders, we remember them in prayers. Remember to pray for them. To pray that God should keep anointing them. They pray for us all the time, but how many of us remember to pray for them? And lastly today, remember your first love. Revelation 12:5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. God forbid. So in this place, leaving the first love doesn't mean maybe the person is sinning, so to say. It means the person is no longer zealous as they used to be. That's why this is a clarion call that we should all check ourselves. Am I still zealous for God the way I used to be? Do I still hate sin the way I used to hate sin? Do I still love righteousness the way I used to love righteousness? It's time for you and I to actually check and ask God to have mercy and strengthen us. And I will end with this story. I don't know if I've shared this with anyone here before. I don't even know if my wife knows this story. But I remember sometimes long ago, I had this encounter with Jesus in my dream. And it was those times when I think it was probably my first phone. And I would always be busy on that phone playing games and things like that. And I used to pray. I was already born again. But that phone was taking a toll on my spiritual life. I had that dream and saw Jesus in that dream. I saw, I guess, a glimpse of heaven and saw like different colors, purple. I'm using colors that, you know, you can't really talk about them on earth. They are this blend, but I remember that I saw a kind of purple and a mix of orange. It was really beautiful. I can't remember it properly, but I know that I think Jesus was about to take me to that temple. I don't know what would have happened there, but I was busy with my phone and I didn't know when Jesus passed and went to that place. And I woke up. I remember that dream. Well, I know I repented at that time and that I was already getting cold in my feet. But I remember that when I was preparing for this, and I thought to share with you and I today, that what is that thing that is taking a hold of spiritual life and my spiritual life? What is that thing that is keeping us busy, that wouldn't allow Jesus to show us deeper things, that wouldn't allow Jesus to bring us to the realm of fellowship? I pray today, and I think we should all get into the place of prayer. Let's begin to ask God to have mercy on us and to help us. That any distraction, Father, take it out of my way. Anything injuring me from fellowshipping, from communing, from taking my place in you, take these things out of my life. Help me to overcome them. I don't want to be a servant to anything you have given me. I want to be a master of them. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. You said all things are permissible. I'm free to do anything, but I must not be brought under the power of any. Help me, Jesus, not to be brought under the power of anything you have given me as a gift. In the name of Jesus, strengthen me, O God. Empower me, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I hope you have all been blessed today. Let's take a moment more, 2 moments more, 10 minutes more to pray diligently. Maybe this message is particularly for someone here today, but I know it's for me. I don't know about you. I don't even care if anybody feels it's not about them, but I know it's for me. So let's take a moment to pray personally, to ask God to repent before Him. If you have left our first love, if you have forgotten the things that we should remember or remember the things that we should forget, let's spend time with God in sanctification to ask God to help us. And it's not even about sin. Maybe you did a major sin. No, this is about you and I getting back on our feet, loving God more, hating sin and hating disobedience and hating anything that will distract us from fellowship. Focusing fully on God, giving Him the honor He deserves. And I pray that God strengthens all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the end of the episode today, and I hope it's been a blessing. But please, I'm begging you, in fact, I'm adding the name of God to it, share this with someone. The video, the YouTube will be available immediately. You can just share that while you still have time. Put it on your status. Let people see this. Let people watch it. And let them be blessed. May God bless you. See you next week as we start another episode. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye, and God bless you.
A good success.com.